so much for coming. And like Katie said, I just want to thank Susan and Frank and Anderson and Miguel and VizArts, because this has been a really, really wonderful experience. I mean, I think VizArt is just such a special place in terms of the experimental work that they're willing to sort of promote and encourage. And for me, this was amazing because I haven't had a proper studio since I've moved to DC. I'm originally from California. I'm in my seventh year living here, and I've just been working out of my home, which is, you know, you find the ways to do it. It's been great. But this is the first proper studio I've had, and so I was really excited to create something large scale because I haven't been able to work large scale in a very long time. And then I ended up working so large I could barely fit in the space. I was so excited. But it was really great. So Frank and I have been working together for 5 years now. 5 years on Birding the Future. And as Susan mentioned, we are really looking at species extinction, specifically through the warning abilities of birds. We have completed 5 iterations of the project. We have and you'll see here in terms of the stereoscopic imagery, which is the first 3D technology, right? So we have a Dubai, Arabian Peninsula series, a Washington, D.C., a Mid-Atlantic series, a Norway series, as Frank is from Norway. We have a Queensland, Australia, and the last is, oh my gosh, it's pretty.
Lab series?
A lab series, which is obviously a little bit unique we'll talk about. And so with each series, we're really looking at issues specific to the region, but also these issues really translate globally because they're connections. So if you're thinking forest fragmentation, window strikes, I mean, there's like, we go down the list of all the reasons that birds are in decline. While there are specific issues regionally, they also often really link globally. So we're kind of interested in that kind of local, global kind of conversation. And then with this, this is, as Susan mentioned, sort of inspired by a Kaiser Panorama, which is the precursor to cinema. I don't know if anybody's ever seen that, but historically what would happen is inside there'd be a mechanism that would sort of rotate a series of images. So a bell would ring, and obviously here it's sort of inverted. So really we're asking the viewer to actually walk around rather than the image within it moving. So sort of shifting what that interaction is. And it's all from repurposed material with slides as well as video, which we can talk about later. But I want to get Frank talking about the sound first, so I'll turn it over to him.
Yeah, a little bit about the sound. The focus of the project is birds, the warning signals of birds, because you find birds in pretty much any ecosystem on the planet, and we see declines in bird populations in pretty much any ecosystem on the planet. And in Norway and also several other European countries, at least, bird monitoring is a tool for assessing sustainability. So if the bird populations go down, that means our way of life is not sustainable. And that's an official national tool for monitoring how we're doing. And policymakers are following that and reacting based on that. So that's one of the things that we touch on in this work. On these cards, there are images on the front, there's text on the back, and the text really reflects much of that research that's going on. Some solutions to environmental issues related to birds in particular. The sound material that you hear in this particular version, the bird calls are all calls of extinct birds. They don't exist anymore. These are recordings that I got from the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. They have a huge archive that dates back many, many decades. So these birds you will not hear in the wild. There are some from the rainforest, there are some seabirds, there are several of them are from Hawaii, where birds went extinct after recording technology was invented. That's why we have more recordings of extinct birds from Hawaii than other places. But they're extinct. The birds you hear flying are laboratory birds from our lab series. and they were recorded at the bird lab at the University of Utah in Salt Lake City. So they're not flying very far. They're caged. Most of them are probably also dead now. It's really sad, isn't it? But that's one of the that's a main focus is what is specific to the local region that each series is based on, and we connect that. You can see the global connections, especially when we look at migratory birds. There are things that happen to birds in one place that affect ecosystems in other places in the world. So we're looking at the regional specificities, and we're looking at the global, what's common globally. And also solutions that maybe people have started doing one place that others can pick up, because habitat destruction, when we look at it globally, is the main reason for birds' population decline, and deforestation, pollution, pesticides for sure, that's a big one.
Well, one other thing I would mention, just because we get asked this a lot, is sort of why the stereoscope, or why are you interested in the Kaiser Panorama? Why this sort of use of sound in this way? And I think that we do use technology in a very particular way. So the stereoscope, as I mentioned, is the first 3D technology. And so we're really interested in, I don't know, maybe trying to get us to think a little bit more deeply about the technologies that we use. And so, and also, the stereoscope kind of links us back to 19th century technology, where a lot of these issues sort of started to increase, you know, exponentially, if you think of Industrial Revolution and so forth, right? And so really kind of providing this historical link to sort of where we're at now with our current environmental situation. Similarly, the Kaiser Panorama also kind of selected for in that way. But then Frank uses, not maybe in this particular exhibition as much, but uses pretty sophisticated software and programming to create the soundscape that you're hearing, which he could talk a lot more. And so we're pairing really sort of obsolete technologies, which really the stereoscope is obsolete at this point, with emerging new technologies, sort of linking this sort of history with our current the current moment we're in as well. Do you want to say anything about that?
Well, in this person, there's a relatively simple algorithm of making birds fly in various directions. We have another version where we're translating the regional projected extinction rate for birds into one day of the exhibition. So it's normally projected for the end of the century, like 34%. In this region, it's 34% of the birds are expected to die out by the end of the century. So in the outdoor versions of this project, we translate that into one day, so that in the morning you can hear it quite lively, and then you can really experience the birds dying out throughout the day. And if you come back to the exhibit at the end of the day, it's fairly quiet. 34% of the birds are gone. And you can experience what that actually means. And so that's one way that we're using technology. And another way is that these bird calls that you hear now, there are birds that, when they all existed, you would never hear them in the same place. They're stripped of any environmental context. Because what do we have left when technology, we have recorded them, and technology is our memory of what once existed? Well, we have to create our own context for them. They're, when the bird is no longer in that environment, also that environmental context has changed, because there is that contribution to the soundscape, to the ecosystem, and so on. And that affects not only that bird itself and the experience of that in isolation, but the entire ecosystem community. So that's another thing that we point out by presenting this as in a fairly sterile laboratory way, in a sense.
Which is just the last thing I think I would add, is to kind of jump off that in terms of the lab series, because you'll see then there's some kind of bird, you know, you'll see some laboratory birds. You'll also see some birds, if you look through the slides, at the National Bird Collection at the Smithsonian. And so we've we started off the series in terms of the imagery with the stereoscopic slides, but have been then moving, kind of expanding the project, and I think expanding it and complicating it, really thinking about our relationships with other species and sort of thinking about this more than human world that we're living in and how complicated it is, and that we most of us don't think very often about research being done on laboratory animals, and we benefit from much of the research, but it's a very painful kind of complicated it's complicated, and I think it's important to ask those questions about what that means and why are we doing and what does it gain. And so these are the kinds of things we're moving into asking as well, and some of the imagery you see, if you're asking why, that's sort of part of what we're starting to touch on.
So, yeah.
I don't know. We could talk. We've been working on this project for over 5 years, so as you can imagine, there's a lot we could talk about. Yeah. So, but we could answer any questions and love to talk with you. Yes.
Could you speak about the voice box of the bird?
The voice box of the bird? The syrinx? The picture. Yeah. Yes. So that's at the Goller Lab at the University of Utah, and it's a cast, basically, right, of the syrinx. And Franz Goller, who's this incredible ornithologist, he was so generous with his time. We were so lucky because, and we didn't say this, but we've been so blessed to be able to collaborate with scientists and other scholars through this project, and Franz Goller is one. And he really gave us free access to his space and answered any questions, and he just had all these incredible casts. And so he was teaching us about birdsong, because his research is primarily around memory and birdsong in the lab, and so he was showing us some of the items they've done in his lab, and that's one of the works. I don't know if you want to add anything else.
Well, we met at the International Symposium on Electronic Art, which was held in Albuquerque in 2012, and we started chatting and realized we were working in similar ways. Krista with visual arts, I worked with sound, and we're interested in similar topics, so, well, maybe we should try and collaborate on something. And then we communicated via email and sent some ideas back and forth, and then we just... there was a call for works for the Balance and Balance Conference on Art, Technology, and Environment in Australia, and we decided to do something together there. And we actually did not put the visuals and the sound together until we met up in Australia to install the work.
In fact, they were so wonderful because we hadn't even completed the work. We just proposed it to them, and they, sight unseen, liked the idea and said yes.
So we put it together, and it actually worked. And then
here we are.
And here we are.
Continuing.